There were four ladies that were sitting at Starbucks just enjoying one another's company as they sat there. But they also kept their eyes on the cash register at the same moment. You see, the four of them had pooled their money and purchased a gift card and instructed the cashier to pay for every customer's whatever they brought to the register until the money on that gift card ran out. And so as they enjoyed each other's company and were visiting, they would watch the reactions of those who went up with a cup of coffee and tried to pay for it and say and told them it's already paid for. These same four women spent a cold Saturday morning giving away hot chocolate to kids and parents at a junior high soccer game. These same four women potted dozens of plants and took them to a nursing home to share with the residents. When their friend Marcy was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, they hired someone to clean her house once a month so that she would have more energy to spend with her teenagers. You see, they just loved expressing kindness. After all, the Bible says love is kind. Colossians 3, verse 12, here's a challenge to all of us. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Clothe yourselves, we're going to emphasize this morning, with kindness. There was a very kind man who said, every morning I put on my glasses, my pants, my shirt, my jacket, and my cap. And then he says, I picture myself putting on the overcoat of kindness. I wrap it all around me and pray I will touch people through my kindness today. This man did much to touch the lives of hundreds of people. He was known for mowing lawns for sick neighbors, for raking leaves for the elderly, for giving away recorded lectures and books to those he thought might listen to them. He paid camp fees for needy children. When he died, his funeral lasted more than 3 hours. As people from all walks of life stood to share their encounters with this kind man. You see, he had clothed himself with kindness, just as you and I are called to do. We've been talking about studying the one another passages in Scripture. And yes, one of those is to be kind to one another, Ephesians 4 and verse 32. But now I'd like for us to turn our focus outward. Not neglecting our relationships with one another within the family of God, but turning outward as God's family to think of others. It is God's will that we give attention to one another, but also to others that are not yet members of God's family. Matthew 5:16, Jesus says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Galatians 6:10, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And one of the ways that we can look out to others around us and clothe ourselves with those qualities that should be characteristic of all Christians is to be sure to clothe ourselves with kindness and to express kindness to those around us. 1 Thessalonians 5:15 says, "Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else." So be kind. What is kindness? Kindness means noticing someone else, recognizing their needs, recognizing that each person is a person of value. And doing kind deeds reflects a desire to serve others. And those who seek to clothe themselves with kindness recognize that this is one expression of a loving person. I like this quote, "The spring of kindness is honest concern about other people. And the guideline for showing kindness is respect for other people." Honest concern for others, respect for others. Those are the things that guide our expressions of kindness. You see, you're not being kind, no matter how generous your deed is, if you're condescending and haughty in performing it. You're not being kind if you put the person down and belittle his worth, saying, "I'm doing for you what you should have done for yourself." That's not kindness. Kindness is having a genuine concern for others and wanting to help them. To be concerned without being condescending. To be merciful without being manipulative. To be helpful without being haughty. These are expressions of godly kindness. Put most simply, kindness is one's willingness to become involved in another's need. You see a need, and in kindness and love, you want to try to help meet that need. What does it do, this kindness, this godly form of kindness? What does it do? It sees a need and responds. It gets out of ourselves where we tend to get wrapped up in. We tend to see only our own needs. Well, kindness would cause us to have that outward focus and be sensitive and open and see and then respond to the needs of others. Isn't that what Jesus was teaching in the parable of the Good Samaritan? How that Good Samaritan, unlike the priest and the Levite, saw that need and entered and responded to that need. He was kind. He proved to be what Jesus was defining as a true neighbor. So it sees the needs and responds. Secondly, it brings joy. Making kindness a way of life brings joy not only to others who benefit from our kindness, but it also blesses our lives. Nellie Edelman shared a quote with me. "No act of kindness is ever wasted, for it works a miracle in the heart of the giver." Barbara DeAngelis wrote it this way: "Love and kindness are never wasted. They always make a difference. They bless the one who receives them, and they bless you, the giver." To be the recipient of some kindness brings joy, doesn't it? But also to give it, to express that kindness, brings joy to us. But we need to be reminded of this caution. Kindness may be rejected, but we're to be kind anyway. You see, kindness always involves a risk. Because when we perform an act of kindness, it may just be that it'll go unnoticed by others. It may just be that someone won't appreciate the kind deed. And it may just be that someone might try to use that act of kindness, accuse us of being weak, or to use it against us. But that's not our part to regulate the response of some kind action that we've done. We're to be on the giving end. And let the rest take care of itself. Christians are to keep on showing kindness. Kindness softens hearts. It softens hearts. One husband shared this experience. He says, "I've been harsh with my wife. I had cut down her ideas and telling her that what she said wasn't logical." He said, "I raised my voice at her and told her exactly what I thought. Whereupon she left the room and I began watching the ball game again. 30 minutes later," he said, "she walked in with a sandwich, chips, and a Coke, all neatly arranged on a tray. She placed the tray on my lap, said, 'I love you,' and she kissed me on the cheek and walked out. I sat there thinking, 'This isn't right. This isn't right. This isn't supposed to happen.'" He says, "The longer I sat there, the more I felt like a jerk. Her kindness to me overwhelmed me, and I put the tray down, went into the kitchen, and apologized." You see, the wife demonstrated the kindness of authentic love, and it changed his heart. Now, there's a warning here. We're not to perform acts of kindness in order to manipulate others. If that's our motive, that's the wrong motive, folks. That's not why we're to be kind, to try to get people to do what we want them to do. Rather, our motive for being kind to others is that we're concerned about that person and we want to help that person. But the fact is, kindness can soften hearts. I read about a missionary in India. He was visiting in India. And he was speaking on one occasion, and suddenly he just began coughing, and he was taken to the doctor, and it was discovered that he had acute tuberculosis. So he had to spend some time in a sanatorium recuperating. And in the sanatorium, this hospital, he was surrounded by some starving and very sick patients, none of which spoke his language. But he would try to share with them, even in that sanatorium, these gospel tracts that were written in their language, hoping that they would read and know more about Jesus. But every time he offered one of these, it was refused. One night, as he lay awake, unable to sleep because of a raspy cough, he noticed an old man trying to leave his bed, only to fall back into his bed exhausted. And the stench from the old man's bed the next morning brought loud insults from his fellow patients. He'd been unsuccessful in trying to get up and go to the restroom. Nurses changed his bedding roughly, and one slapped him. Doug Nichols was his name, watched as the old man curled up in a ball and wept. The next morning, about 2 a.m, Doug awoke again and saw that old man was trying to get up out of the bed. Without even really thinking about it, Doug got up, went over to him, picked him up, and carried him to the restroom. Carried him back to bed. And the man jabbered in a language Doug didn't understand, but he smiled profusely and kissed Doug on the cheek. Doug awakened the next morning to a steaming cup of tea served to him by another patient who did not speak his language. But he motioned to Doug that he'd like one of those gospel tracts. Others began to ask him, doctors, nurses, interns began asking him to know more about this God that he served. Kindness, Frederick Faber has written, has converted more sinners than zeal, eloquence, or learning, because kindness can soften hearts. One act of kindness often provokes another. Over 15 years ago, Jeff and Christy Leland's baby, Michael, was born, and the doctor said he had only weeks to live. And if he didn't get a bone marrow transplant, he would die. But the problem was that the insurance company, the Leland's insurance company, refused to pay the $200,000 that it would cost to provide this bone marrow transplant. And Jeff, as a teacher, surely couldn't afford to pay that price. That's when Damien, one of the most picked on children at the middle school where Jeff taught, handed the principal 12 $5 bills. Is the entirety of the bank account that he just emptied. He said, I want this to go to help the Leland baby. The principal took that $60, deposited it, started an account, and inspired the other students of Kameakin Junior High in Kirkland, Washington, to contribute to this account, which they responded in a powerful way. And the whole community rallied behind these students. And in less than 4 weeks, Damien's act of kindness had sparked a citywide drive that raised $227,000 for Michael's life-saving transplant. In turn, the Lelands launched Sparrow Clubs USA, a nonprofit organization of school-based clubs that provided opportunities for kids to help other kids in medical crises, Since 1995, Sparrow Clubs have raised more than $2.5 million to help children who are seriously ill or disabled. One act of kindness can provoke many, many more. Amelia Earhart is credited with this statement: "No kind action ever stops with itself. One kind action leads to another. Good example is followed. A single act of kindness throws out roots in all directions, and the roots spring up and make new trees. The greatest work that kindness does to others is that it makes them kind themselves." Scott Adams said, "Remember, there's no such thing as a small act of kindness. Every act creates a ripple with no logical end." But one other thing that kindness does is that it glorifies God when His people are kind. Jesus says, "Do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." You remember Matthew 5:16 again. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, but glorify your Father who is in heaven." Eric and I have been working on a project that we want to implement with you today. It's called Simple Kindness. Simple Kindness. Rick Whittle shared this with me as something that they did at Spanish Fort, and I thought, beautiful. I want to encourage my Creekwood family to do the same. With the help of our teens, and teens, that's your cue to help us after the worship service this morning. The teens will help, will give you a package, just an envelope. And in it, there's a description of this project called Simple Kindness. And I want to share some of the lines with you. What is simple kindness? Simply put, it's a simple, intentional display of God's love for all people. It usually takes the form of an act of service or generosity toward one who does not expect it. We're encouraging every member of the Creekwood Church to engage in multiple acts of kindness this month, a special emphasis this month of September. These acts may be basic, inexpensive, and low-key. It's not the scale of the act that matters. It's the expression of kindness. This is what's going to make it interesting, and I hope life-changing, not only for us, but for those who may be the recipients of our act of kindness. Every time you do an act of kindness for someone, do it as inconspicuously, anonymously as possible. But leave one of these cards. And this card simply says, "We hope this small act of service shows you God's love in a practical way." Don't sign your name to it. It has Creekwood Church of Christ, the address, phone number, and the website. We're hoping this will generate some interest. Who are these people? What are they about? On the envelopes, there's some with 10 cards. We want each family to have 10 cards. If your family is a unit of one, we have some prepared with 5 cards. Now, we're including the teens. Each of the teens in Bible class this morning will receive 5 cards. And I know the teens are going to be all over this. We want this to be a project with our family ministry as well. What a wonderful opportunity. And I'm thinking of some families right now whose children are going to be eager to participate in this. And parents, you might as well get ready. They're probably going to be suggesting things to you as to what you can do as a family. What a way to teach our children to be outwardly focused, to do something good and kind for someone else without them knowing, with no personal glory, but only the glory going to God and to His church. When you leave the auditorium this morning, our teens are going to give you one of these packets. Please, prayerfully, participate in this project. It's easy. It could be thrilling as you see opportunities to be kind to those around you. Why be kind? Well, because God is kind. Ephesians 2, 6 and 7, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. You see, we were in desperate need, and God in His kindness and mercy offered His Son to address that primary need that we have, forgiveness of our sins. His kindness is what prompted Him to give His Son to die in our place. Why be kind? Because He is kind, and He has called us to be kind. Be imitators of God as dear children, Ephesians 5 and verse 1. And we're never more like God than when we seek to be kind to those around us. In the passage that Brother Troy read for us, it ended with this one, Luke 6:35. Love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. In my haste to get through, I left out one important component. On the back of this brochure, it tells you about a web page at our website that you can go to where you can talk about your experience of doing some kindness. Like, where were you? What did you do? And if you know, what was the reaction? And even if you don't know what the reaction is, that's okay, because remember, we're not doing this for personal glory, but to bring glory to God. I'll send out a link. Chris Presley created this web page for us where we can go on online and record our experience. And please do so anonymously. But know that your experience is only going to bless other people, your Creekwood family, and perhaps cause us to have some ideas about how we can express kindness to those around us. We're kind because God is kind, and He wants us to be kind. So how will you respond to the kindness that God has expressed to you, especially through the gift of His Son? He is kind to us to lead us to repentance, Romans 2 and verse 4 says. God has expressed His kindness to us so that we might respond to Him and in loving obedience become children of His. And it may be your desire to do just that. As a penitent believer, to be baptized into Christ, to be born again into His family. But then as His children, let's imitate our Father and be kind to everyone. If you need to respond to the invitation of Christ this morning, won't you come right now as we stand and sing?